This is a production of Cornell University.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is 4:32 on May 5th. The quorum is present. I'll call this meeting of the University Assembly to order. Call for late additions. Are there any late additions to the agenda? 1 moment at the end. Office of the Assembly, OOTA. Are there any other late additions? Hearing none, we move to the minutes of April 21st, 2015. Those were sent out to members' packets in advance.
Second.
I have a motion approved and a second. Are there any changes? Any discussion?
Dr. Shalloway's presentation. Dean Shalloway said they are expanding reserves. And I think there's on page 123.
Okay.
Presentation by those in favor of the resolution.
Okay. And Dee says that they are expanding reserves to maintain.
They have them there. It's just not clear who the subject of the who they refer to. The pronoun seems to get.
Let me confer with Professor Hatch, but I believe he's talking about the AJ Edwards. What is that? That's the.
I didn't print it out yet. Excuse me.
The investment officer. The chief I believe that's in reference to that. We'll let Marty.
Marty, do you want it?
There's some paper copies.
Oh, thank you.
That are out there. While we're waiting for that, are there other concerns of the minutes or discussion of the minutes? Hearing none, we'll wait for Professor Hatch to look at that. Page 3, second bold presentation of those in favor. First sentence.
I don't know where their quotes. Yeah, this isn't good. But the resolution has appended to it the three or four presentations, including Professor Shalloway's. And I'm sure this is clear. I'm sorry I didn't read this through. I can't find what was mean by that, but you're right. What you meant by that, but short-term book value. Maybe that Jim purchases. I don't know, but I don't think he would have known that. So I really don't know. I mean, I'm sure it pertains to the slide.
Mr. Battaglia believes that they refer to fossil fuel companies.
I think so.
Changing they to fossil fuel companies. David Shalloway said fossil fuel companies are expanding reserves to maintain the short-term book value. Is that acceptable?
Thank you.
Then are there any other discussion or amendments?
Motion to
okay. There's been a motion to approve the minutes as amended and seconded. Are there any objections? Hearing none, the minutes of April 21st, 2015 are approved as amended. Thank you. Next up, final reports from assembly, student assembly, Ms. Batista.
So I guess I'll look at this from a perspective of what's coming up because as President Malone, I feel that would be more appropriate.
Sure.
So I think on the horizon, the student assembly really still wants to be integral and critical to the Community Bill of Rights that's going through the University Assembly. We're also just recently passed a student-run grocery store that's still pending approval from President Corden, but if that passes, I think that'll be one of the integral projects part of the student assembly. We also have a byline year coming up, so we'll be allocating our student activity fee. That's always very interesting to have, and we're also looking into passing a research unit next year that looks at quantitative information in order to make qualitative policy-making decisions through the Assembly. We've done a lot this year. We're still in the middle of our important system investigation. We've passed a referendum process, among various other initiatives that have been happening. It's a really exciting time. The student assembly has been really active.
Thank you. Question for Ms. Petita? Then the GPSA, Ms. Wong. Student General President? Ms. Wong, Ms. S. Are there any other GPSA members present? Cora?
On the fly, I have to think if we have updates.
Yes, please. We'll turn to Mr. Meezy, Employee Assembly.
So we're meeting with Cornell Transportation and Commuter Services tomorrow. We have sort of an open forum discussion. We had sort of a two-part transportation series. We had TCAT a month ago, which was TCAT specific, and this one is all transportation issues that are non-TCAT. I'm trying to separate the two because they are two different entities, and Cornell Transportation Services is the sort of the liaison for us to TCAT. So having a different conversation, but that will be at our meeting tomorrow. Our elections are sort of underway with material packets out and are due at the end of the week. We've got a few other interesting resolutions that we're trying to get through before the end of our time, looking at our structure and our representation mix and what next year looks like for the EA and then the years after. So it's an interesting time, but lots to come. Not a lot of detail now, but some things in the pipeline before the end of the year.
Awesome. I think we've done a fantastic job, as always. Questions for Mr. Meezy? Faculty Senate, Dean Burns.
In the 3 minutes, I have three things I wanted to mention. One was the we just completed the Charter Day weekend, which I think was just great. And it showed sort of the way what happened when the faculty and students and employees all worked together and had great support from the employees, just did a magnificent job of helping out. And, the students had the student innovators over in Duckett Hall, which was exciting. The movie festival, Fringe Festival, and the whole plaza is terrific, and then the faculty presentation, which worked out in the class. So that was good. And then I wanted to talk about some of the resolutions that have gone through the Senate in the last year very quickly and mention what's coming up for next week. We had a resolution a year ago that put forward the title of Professor of Practice. And the title, that title is now enforced in the engineering colleges, so college by college. So the engineering college is now using it. The hotel school, the Johnson School, the College of Human Ecology, so it's spreading. And sort of related to that, at the next meeting, there will be a resolution on the floor for another new title called Research Professor, one being sort of teaching, the other one being research. In each case, these are renewable but non-tenure track positions. So that should be exciting. We have, in April, we had a very heated discussion about a couple of resolutions saying that they should get better shared governance, and the administration was not doing good things with them. And gave a batch of examples of how they, the resolution alleged the administration had failed, and that passed. And we also, you'll have on next week's agenda a resolution which calls for an investigation of the Cornell Police Department in regards to the alleged incident over at the Statler at the end of March. So an investigation which would be parallel perhaps to the investigation of the whole plaza incident from last November. And then the last of the three items is to just mention we continue to hold the faculty fora. We had one in the hall that talked about international programs and who should be making decisions about whether we go into ethically good places or bad places and what are the benefits on either side. Why do we go to China, Israel, and Saudi Arabia, and stuff like that. So that was very interesting, and we had another one in March concerning the efficacy and the use of professional master's degrees, how that changes the nature of Cornell, and how it brings its benefit by bringing additional funds and a more practical direction for the university. And we intend to have another faculty forum in the fall, which may interest people. And that will concern whether or not Cornell's current financial aid policies are the appropriate policies to accomplish what the university wants to accomplish.
Thank you. Questions for Dean Burns? On behalf of the Assembly, I would like to say thank you for Charter Day weekend. I know it was a huge effort of many people, but I know you were integral to that, and it did, by all reports, go off extremely well,
yeah.
and made a lot of people very proud. And so thank you.
I had not
seen the resolution related to concerns about shared governance. The fact that the Senate won. If I could ask somebody from your office to forward that, if it's releasable, I'd love to hear it.
Sure.
And I was aware of the incident at that one, but I didn't know it was going to be investigated. So I'm sure our CJC will probably be in touch at some point.
The resolution about financial aid sounds particularly intriguing. What sort of purview does the faculty senate have over financial aid, or what direction are they planning on taking the recommendation?
There are so many implications of the financial aid policy that affect the educational policy that we thought we should weigh in on this and see. We heard a couple of presentations from, I think, renegade trustees, or trustees nonetheless, that sort of said, are we spending $280 million? Maybe if we spent $250 million, we use the $30 million to educate the people we brought in the lower quintile, we have a better thing. We have a better overall financial aid for international students versus local students. There are a whole batch of questions that we think deserve some explanation, not explanation, but some thought rather than just saying, deep line decision. What does that really mean? And get trustees here, get some people from other universities here, and we'll talk it through.
Great. That sounds really interesting. Keep me in the loop.
Okay.
Thank you. Coming back to GPSA, thing, is that?
I'm ready. Okay. First, Catherine Harman is here tonight. I think she was here last time. She's a new
welcome.
UA representative from the GPSA. So, can confirm that we passed Resolution 8 and 9, correct?
Sure.
Would
you like to give the comment on that?
Well, sure, I can tell. We passed two resolutions at the last meeting, Resolution 8 and 9. 9 was in support of Assistant Dean Joseph Scafito and in condemnation of efforts to terminate his employment. This is in the media. You're not all aware of it. You can look this up on the Assembly's website. Catherine sponsored Resolution 8, so if you'd like to explain.
Sure. So Dean had a number of undergraduate student leaders committed Diversity International Student Committee and felt that they felt excluded from the process in which decision was made to form and hire the two senior associate dean position, which was resuming now given to inclusion,
engagement,
and community support. And so this process had gone on for about a year, and we've been doing two. Given the involvement of the community, felt it was a little bit patriarchal. They didn't what was needed for them, and they weren't up for that conversation. So we sided with numerous graduate and undergraduate students' signatures, as well as mine and two others from the CSA, to sponsor those things, again, themes from this year that we need truly shared governance, that we need to have formalities in place which is to ensure that they share them, not just the spirit of it. So that would be the kind of the bill. We had at first advocated for spending the hiring costs altogether, but we realized that we were just at a point where too much had transpired and that was really self-esteem. We just said that the teachers need to have a more formal process or that senior stakeholders, even though they have not been traditionally involved in this process, need to be involved, especially when it comes to
Okay. And then finally, we elected our new executive board, and Richard will continue as president. So we have that continuity, and Teha Bolu acting executive vice president, and graduate student Nate Rogers is our VP of operations.
Excellent. Thank you for being on, put on the spot. That was awesome.
Online resources.
Questions? Hearing none, we'll move to committee updates. Executive committee, Mr. Battaglia.
Thank you, Mr. Blair. There are two events to do a exec. First off, we have received a response from President Horton concerning UN Resolution 7, calling for the implementation of an open course evaluation working group. He provided an update. He is working with one of the advocates of the resolution, undergraduate representative Joseph Fridman, who is speaking with a member of Dean, and they anticipate creating a working group to continue looking at how to implement this over the course of the coming few months. Second, we also have heard back a response on resolutions 9 and 10, sponsored by UA member SA President Sarah Balick, creating and charging the CJC with the implementation of the Community Bill of Rights. President Horton acknowledged them. He was not required to accept them. He also pointed out two lines that he believes the Assembly should consider. On lines 14 and 15 of UA R9, we say, whereas Cornell policies currently reflect these responsibilities, but do not explicitly define the rights of the community members. He challenged the assertion, arguing that the campus code does, in some areas, explicitly define rights. At this point in the year, the resolution is fairly well set. Additionally, in the context of the resolution, the phrasing makes sense because we're looking at the policies as a whole, that is the exception rather than the rule. And the UA exec believes that it was the intent of the sponsors to highlight that, not simply make a blanket statement about all policies, not any of that.
Yeah, the wording is perhaps not as clear as desired, but in the sponsor's context, it is correct. And I will write back to President Horton and clarify that.
So he didn't accept
them? No, these are bylaw changes. He was not required to accept them, but he has acknowledged them, and so thank you for sharing them. He has not registered any objections other than he would like us to reconsider lines 14 and 15, which we're not obligated to do. The UA exec, I think the most appropriate response is just to write him back and say, we concur with your interpretation and we apologize for potentially ambiguous wording. But the intent and the context of the resolution was correct, which is why we want to create this one place that will set them all and put them in a positive framework versus a thou shalt not set of rights. But more of a about coming. So. Thank you, Mr. Tagli. Questions? Then Campus Infrastructure Committee, Mr. Lucelle.
We have not met formally since last meeting. I just want to thank the subcommittee that did all the work on Resolution 6. Thank you for all that work and presentation. I met with the Transportation Task Force, headed by Bridget. She went through TCAT. They're going to be using not a technology, they're going to be using SharePoint and Yammer for communication, just so you know, since you're on my committee too. This is going to be really handy. She covered current projects they're currently doing for the campus, but she'll be on that committee too. Country Road, Wavering Plan, Garden Tower intersection, all those things were just washed over in with that. TCAT, we also looked at the capital funding model, but you just explained that. Also, just to let you know, Leslie Schill and Stephen Wolf are really, really energized to the campus planning committee, and they're really reaching out and wanting to have better representation from all constituents and kind of very spotty, and so they really look forward to next year for that to happen. Then of course the third thing was I got a volunteer role, I think here last time, that I needed to go to a BART by an extra response team. Not that I frustrated with that at all, no, but it was good. It was very good. Just a review of bias response and how the process works. Some really good folks. Nothing really new, we just didn't get, they wanted to see who was representing whom.
Thank you. For those who aren't aware, Professor Stephen Wolf is the head of the Campus Planning Committee, which is an associate committee of the University Assembly, and Leslie Schill of the University of Planning. So, all the roads and everything else, they oversee those kinds of contributions. Questions for Mr. Lissell?
How does one get involved in these kinds of planning? You said that they're interested in people.
Well, there's, as you'll see, those are the representatives that basically the clip of their charge to themselves. They wanted to clarify not in concert with our charge to them. So this year they've been counting that out, so that's there. Leslie's work. So in more specifically your question, I don't know if there's one for an American.
Well, I think if I can, I'll step in. The shared governance groups all have seats on the campus planning committee, but they have not been attending.
Correct.
I have pointed out to them that they held their meetings sporadically, different times, different days, and it's hard for people to plan. But, you know, that's a known flaw. They want to get the attendance higher. But you'll see in Resolution 8 revised, the last two lines, the CPC meetings are open to people whose administrative positions at the university and their connection to the planning at the university motivate their participation. That's an open invitation for people who are serious about infrastructure. So if you would like to become involved and become knowledgeable on their issues and are willing to show up and participate, then you are welcome without a formal, say, UA appointment is the intent of that. So if you wish to be involved, then be involved. But don't just show up and poo-poo on the plans and then don't come again. Don't come again. Ms. Stephen,
what do you know when they occur?
Policy.
Oh, I'm sorry, what? Pardon?
Oh, I've been involved with the planning since 2010, and reaching out directly to the executive board of the assembly so that we, I think each appointment has two appointments. And
yes.
As I understand it, I think, in fact, we just had the last one in the VA today. And part of that conversation was making sure that even though these folks might have been sort of on the committee in the past, that it involves not just attending that meeting, which will be held more regularly, as Jim just mentioned, but also then participating fully in the CPC assembly, so that the conduit of information is both from the assembly to the committee and back and forth. So it's a lot more active. And that's a proactive approach on their part that we're very happy to be involved with.
And no, we don't have a calendar yet, but I think they're going to do a better job of publishing it farther in advance so that people can plan and focus.
Well, I was simply asking, Jean Dina mentioned that she's been in touch with the executive committee of the UA to find representatives from the UA.
We've always had the representatives. Ours have always shown up. So ours are not, we have not been the issue.
Right.
or have been the least of the issue.
Right.
There's no food. I just put it out there. No food.
They will come.
I need to be off here.
Campus Welfare Committee, Ms. Best.
I don't have any updates. We haven't met since giving up our meeting dates for the larger UA.
Are there open issues that we didn't get to this year? So there's still open. Okay. Excellent. Code and Judicial Committee, Professor Wayne.
We met last week to expressly go over the applications to the University of Missouri Review Board. We did. We voted resolution. I'll talk about that.
Questions for Professor Wayne? Open issues that you didn't get to this year? All right.
Well, the Bill of Rights is still in the process.
Business of the day, then. Turning to four votes. UA Resolution Number 8, revised. It was sent to you in advance and is in your today's package. This is the latest and greatest wording. Mr. Lissell.
So, as we described, we presented it two sessions ago, I believe, and then the campus planning committee met again the day of our last meeting, and if you remember, our last meeting had a few items on the docket, and this one, there was enough wording changes that we didn't feel comfortable trying to sort those out, because we had other things much more important. And so this really is an exact copy of what their charge to themselves is. We read it last time. The changes were, again, numerous but insignificant. I don't know how to say that. There was like Department of Landscape and Architecture on line 57. That wasn't correct, but there was changes down in there. Other than that, just see what you have. It would be on page. The other one I look at for Dr. Hatch was the composition on 48 down through 60, and it enumerates who's involved. And 62 is the at-large members. They've been meeting, I'd say it's once a month and a half. But things are going to be moving ahead, so if you guys want to get involved, it's going to be, pedestrian walkways, new things over in East Hill. There's all kinds of stuff going to be happening in the next couple of years. So.
Coming back to Resolution 8 revised.
I wholeheartedly support this because it should be equal across what we think they're doing and what they think they're doing.
Yeah, well, they're an associate committee. They have to get their charter approved through their process. We need to approve it through ours. They wanted to make some changes. Those changes make sense. They're minor, but they're things like the last two lines that say it's open to the public,
right.
The people who want to, you know, those kinds of requirements. They're ones that we would absolutely support. Ned agrees with it. UA executive has definitely reviewed it, or the vice chair and I, it's quite reasonable. It's actually going back a bit to the previous CCC charter before we changed the model of, like 2 years ago. But we fully support it. This is now the wording that they passed.
Right.
And this is getting our bylaws exactly in sync with theirs because they've been out of sync for a year, frankly. So, or maybe even a little bit more. Questions for the sponsor?
Sure. Okay, on line 33.
Got it.
Just before published is an R. But I'm not sure if it belongs to.
You don't like that extra word in there? I like
it. I'm sorry, where is
he? He's looking at the language behalf of our public.
It does say that. They passed it with those
words. They did. The public. Sure. Is that okay? Okay. I'll bring it back before Leslie and have her look at that.
All right, then there's a proposal to amend line 33 to change the word R to D.
What R to what?
The
public. Well, it's a verb that is pertaining to the word concerns. Among planning concerns,
okay.
It doesn't need to be changed. If you want to keep the same meaning,
I read it very carefully, and some of the way they phrase things are a little unusual to me. But I did scan it very carefully, like Professor Ash did, and if you read it long enough, it actually does come together.
Perhaps.
So are we going to withdraw the R to the and leave it as R?
Yes.
Okay, so there's no amendment on the floor.
Motion to approve.
I have a motion to approve. We'll call the question. Well, actually, sorry, Mr.
Second.
Oh, second. Excellent. So this is actually not calling the question. It's actually a motion to approve. And so we're voting on Resolution 8 revised, not amended. So as presented. UA Resolution 8, all in favor, raise your buttons. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I showed 10 in favor. Against? Abstentions? UA Resolution 8 revised carries by a vote of 10 to 0. Thank you, Mr. Lassell. Next on the docket is UA Resolution 12 revised. Mr. McTaggart.
Thank you, Chairman Blair. This is the same resolution that was brought
last meeting, the changes in the original R12 are either made in consultation with the Public Safety Advisory Committee, the campus planner, and other interested parties to ensure that the Cornell Bicycle Pedestrian Committee is given our recommendations as to what to investigate. We understand that this is an issue of intense scrutiny on our campus, especially considering the recent fatalities, as tragic as they are. So we believe this resolution will adequately start us on the road to ensure that our campus is as safe as it can be.
I don't know whether you added, but there was some wording concern and coordination concern when this was, after this was initially introduced. The wording has been now updated and coordinated with the Public Safety Advisory Committee and has the support of Chief Zoner as well as Bridget Brady, the head of Transportation Services. So there are no more concerns about the wording, and the people who would receive the charge are willing to accept it and waiting. Other questions?
What is the Vision Zero program?
Vision Zero is a very nebulous concept. What it is, it's designed so that you have zero fatalities and zero injuries and zero incidents. It's almost designed to be a moving goalpost. And the initiative in general is specifically based that it's supposed to be adapted to whatever your community or town is, different cities across the country. A number of Nordic countries have adopted Vision Zero in the entire country. Stockholm, I know New York City has adopted one. And the nice thing about it is it's scalable and it's designed to be adapted to what you believe is best for your traffic environment, which is why we wouldn't keep what's mentioned in this.
And we did discuss that with Bridget Brady. She knows what it is and understands it. I thought it was a fine revision.
Motion to approve.
I have a motion to approve. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Rousseau. All in favor of UA Resolution 12 revised as presented. Raise your placard. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I see 9 in 4. Against? Seeing none, abstentions? Seeing none, UA Resolution number 12 revised carries by a vote of 9-0. Thank you, Mr. Pagliarelli. Turning to UA Resolution 13, as I am the sponsor, I transfer the gavel to Mr. Pagliarelli. This is a recognition of outstanding support to the AY 2015 legislative session. This is my thank you resolution to all the people who came before us this year. That is not, that is an inconvenient task. They come when called. They testify sometimes under fire. It takes time, planning, effort. I also want to thank our standing committee chairs and members and essentially everybody who came before and did their work this year. You did an outstanding job and you have my thanks. And so I don't believe I've left anybody off. I have coordinated this with a number of people and I believe we have it all correct. Are there questions for me?
Thank you, Blair. Any questions for me?
Sorry, Mr. Ulysses Smith, I found line 75.
Yes.
But you ran the BART meeting. So you would change that line 77 for then I would propose an amendment to the members, line 77, strike it as currently written and change it to capital towards, capital new, capital destinations, lowercase initiatives. So, Greg King Assembly on the towards new destinations initiatives. Toward new destinations initiatives. Would that be acceptable, Mr. Smith?
I'm fine.
You're welcome.
Is there a second for the amendment?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on the amendment? Okay, that's the incentive for a motion to call a question on the amendment.
Motion approved unanimously.
Yeah. Okay, that being said, is there any dissent? Thank you, that amendment carries unanimously. Any further discussion?
consent as amended.
That being said, there's no further discussion. I would request a motion to approve this resolution.
No,
that would be an amendment. Oh, that would be an
amendment.
Motion to approve.
Unanimously.
Unanimously.
This is taking longer.
Thank you. Quarantine, before moving on to accept this resolution, I'd also like to read into the record a note of appreciation for the chair, Mr. Blair. He has not mentioned this resolution for his request. However, I think it would be appropriate to note in the record in our appreciation of his service to this assembly over the past 2 years.
Thank you.
That being said, if there's no dissent regarding the resolution, we will carry it unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, and thank you for your well wishes. As a token, I'll seal my card so you don't miss it. I would ask you all, maybe before you leave, just sign it, and I'll keep that with me, and that would be a good going away gift. Next item, UA Resolution 14, Bylaw Change Establishing a Student Insurance Advisory Committee Liaison, Mr. McTaggart.
Thank you, Mr. Blair. This is an outgrowth of our presentation from Gannett, led by Dr. Karina Corson-Riker, who spoke about the various committees that have been dealing with student issues, including the Student Health Fee, as well as the Insurance Advisory Committee. The Student Insurance, the Student Health Fee Committee, I guess we convened, although we haven't offered a seat when it is. Being that the Student Insurance Advisory Committee already exists, this is a resolution to amend our bylaws to formally accept the offer to have UA liaison on that committee.
Question for Mr. Battaglia. We have been in contact, maybe you just said that I lost my train of thought, but the head of the committee is Craig McAllister. He supports this, he's been in contact with us, and they will have full voting rights on the committee, which is good. That's not always a given when we appoint a liaison. Is there a motion to approve Resolution 14?
I move we approve unanimously.
Second.
Hatch, needs me. There's been a motion for unanimous consent. Are there any objections to passing UA Resolution Number 14 as presented? Seeing none, the motion carries by unanimous consent. Thank you. And finally, UA Resolution 15, the UHRB appointments for next year. Professor Wayne.
There with 24 candidates, there was a questionnaire that's been around ever since, I think you all know, but it's a great question. It's a questionnaire that asks the person, what if there's, you see somebody come before the peer review board, and it's about a marijuana charge, for example, do you think marijuana should be legal? And they have to answer that question. Or what if the JA didn't bring forth certain paperwork in a timely manner? What if police made some procedural mistake? What would you do? What would you do if there was some kind of conflict of interest? If you witnessed a crime or your friend was charged, etc. And what if you were in deliberations and one person monopolized the deliberations? What would you do? And you really feel like you get an idea of who these people are. The answer is really true, isn't it? We couldn't accept a few people because of conflicts of interest. For example, if you're going to be on the assembly. but those applications were also wonderful. So we put forth a number of names. They're divided into, for the students, 1 or 2 years. People that are on for 1 year because they're going to graduate. So it has nothing to do with quality. The employees are on for 2 years. And we don't choose the faculty members that come from the dean of faculty.
The TKG doesn't, but we still have them. And I have added the names that were submitted by the dean of faculty. I met them with the JA and
you have the chair?
Yes.
The, I don't know if that's a formal comment.
So the CJC is tasked specifically with vetting the, or running the process from undergraduates to graduate students and employees. And all the questionnaires and all the processes this line. They have a separate process where the dean of faculty nominates the faculty members, but they still have to be confirmed by the UA. And I do send those names to the JA to make sure that nobody on the faculty is under disciplinary issues, which you would assume that the dean of faculty would be well aware of if they were, but it's not always the case through college processes and other things.
What are you saying?
I can't understand. I haven't spoken yet.
No.
I think my concern is that that's not an articulated part of the process these days, but. Okay. There we go. My thing is, you all have to confirm them, and unless you know these people, you know, ordinarily we broadcast things.
My question for, because I think last year, I don't know if we, and I'm just trying to go off my memory here. I don't know if we included the faculty on here.
We did not.
Okay.
Because they were not given to us.
Correct. Okay. So that's why I think that this might be new for some of us seeing faculty, because I think in the past of the faculty, right, some has been on, maybe sometimes not been on.
So UA Resolution 16, which was the end of the Section 4, they were not there because they had not been provided.
Yeah.
UA Resolution 1, which was the start of this year, or did have faculty on it because they had been provided. And so there were seven or eight people appointed at that, faculty appointed at that time. And this rounds out their 15 slots for the 2-year appointment.
So I think I'm hearing Gina correctly, having been on the CJC for a while, maybe the CJC needs to look a little more closely at the process with faculty and how that all comes together and make sure it's as clearly as possible so that we don't just become a rubber stamp for the dean of faculty, because that's a little bit what I think we feel like right now, or I feel like right now.
Well,
what Gina's expressing, I don't want to...
So, again, the process is defined in the campus code, as you recall. And the student, graduate student, and employee stuff has a process that the CJC runs.
Yeah.
The dean of faculty directly ejects them to this level. There is no defined question or no defined process for what we do with that. Traditionally, they would be advertised for at least a week so somebody can come forward with objections, those kinds of things. And we would do the normal background, what I call the background check with the JA. These have not been broadcast for a full week, but all but one are reappointments from the previous list. And so I do not recommend holding up a name that is embedded by the dean of faculty and we have no reason to believe is an issue. But it is not as defined a process other than the dean of faculty nominates and we confirm, just like we did the JCC, the JA, the ombudsman type thing with regard to those appointments. Oh, sorry.
And this is just the offer. Just the offer that including the other people who are going to modify the process right now. We're going to supervise the process of transport under the DA. And the working group actually reviewed that exact same point. They made that the point on the board of the four people. And they did make that same point that, and I actually agreed with it, that one of the recommendations is to modify the selection process under the review panel, which is for faculty, so that faculty are also subject to the interview process as normal rules of the panel. Selection should not be done by the dean of faculty, but the recommendation. So if you want to align the places, but potential changes that you can.
Ulysses, can I ask you to send me what you just read to me, that one section of those words, because it's something I can incorporate perhaps in my final report.
My point was just to sort of highlight the process. I feel that we need to approve this now so we have a hearing and review board, but I think just for the record, and hearing Gina's concern others' concerns.
It is something that needs to be better articulated, either in our bylaws or some other process. And I would say the bylaws, because they get read and don't get lost over a period of time. But the resolution 16, two resolutions ago, that did not have faculty names, the dean of faculty had submitted those names and submitted them to JA's office, who went through their process and trained, and they were not formally confirmed with the resolution process, and it was something that the UA exec had to weigh in after the fact, which was not ideal.
Yeah, it's not the case that the judicial committee members in the faculty are voted on by the Senate.
I'm sorry, say it again?
Is it not the case that the members of the Codes and Judicial Committee from the faculty are voted on by the faculty Senate?
I cannot say that the CJC members of the faculty are formally approved by the faculty Senate. They are sent to us by the Dean of Faculty and are appointed by letter, you know, by his office. I do not have full insight into the process that the faculty Senate uses before this comes out.
If I remember.
Oh, I'm sorry, UHRD.
No, he has USCJC.
I said the CJC.
Right.
Are we talking about the CJC?
No, we're talking about the University Hearing and Review Board. The judges.
I'm sorry. Okay, but the CJC, we've gone past that already, are concerned about that?
Yeah.
I thought you were referring to this.
No, so my concern was with the us just getting a name, set of names, and approving them in the same resolution, and not having faculty go through the same standard and the same process that employees and students go through for selection on the UHRB.
Oh, UHRB.
Correct.
And not the CJC.
Correct, yeah, because we're on the Resolution 15.
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry if that wasn't clear.
No, it was good. It should have been me.
I'm going to say that the application, I think, is so well crafted that it would be a good idea for everybody to. It's just looking at the question of education.
Well, and I would ask you to put that in your CJC final report, because it would involve a change to the actual campus code of conduct. I mean, because that process, that level of the process that Dean of Faculty nominates directly to the UA is written there. And so it needs to be a resolution that is ultimately submitted to the president for acceptance. It seems reasonable, but the process needs to be done.
So
other discussion on this resolution.
Move to approve Resolution 15.
Second. Move by Mr. Measy. All right, I would ask for an active vote on this, not unanimous consent. All in favor of UA Resolution Number 15 as presented, please raise your flag. 7, 8, I have 9, 4. Under any event, seeing none, abstentions. Seeing none, Resolution 15 passes by a vote of 9-0. Thank you, Professor Wang. Awesome. Late additions to Ms. Jean DeCuisa.
I just wanted to say I'm glad to be able to do this. Even though we're so busy working and we can get Sundays and so wrapping things up, I missed the last Sunday for the essay and the GPSA to say thank you. It's not just a pleasure to work with you all personally, but it's so gratifying to work with individuals who are committed to the shared governance at UNL. This past year was very exciting with a lot of the big events that we've had, a lot of the topics that came up were rich and the programs were visited, a lot of discussion. I think as we introduce and welcome our new leadership and new administration, the importance of shared governance and the assemblies. And so just on behalf of the office and personally, thank you very much for your time. I just need to do this, and I enjoy it quite a bit. I know this is your time outside of all of your regular duties, jobs, classes, and other commitments, and it takes an awful lot. So I very much appreciate it. And thank you very much.
Thank you, and I'd like to express our appreciation to the office assembly to meet personally. All the support that you give us, and sometimes the tough love, and sometimes the pushback, but it's all for the betterment of Cornell, and it's been my pleasure, and I know many people's pleasure to work with you. Thank you. Keep Lane O'Donnell for handling all that. And personally, I appreciate all the tribe help because I wouldn't want to take minutes.
Yeah.
So thank you to all the staff that support that.
We're going to have Mary Shaw and today we have Chelsea.
Is there any other business before the AY 215 assembly, Ms. Beck?
When do you plan on finishing your final report? When would you like our submission?
Yesterday, May 1st, in accordance with the bylaws.
Is it?
Yeah. I told Professor Wayne by May 30th, please. But sooner if possible. It's going to take me a while before I can actually get the shell together. You're writing your report for your successor. Please send me things that you want me to highlight in the report that is public and would be forwarded to President Garrett. If you could do that earlier. And the rest of it. Other items before the current assembly? Hearing none, then we need to go into closed session to see what the new assembly members wish to do as far as organization this semester. So all non... we do not, but is there a late addition to...
Well, I just wanted to make a comment on the assessment vote. I'm going to second year PhD students who do a lot of design groups. My research is funded by a Carmen Lowell and Michelle. And the Cornell Energy Institute is giving a presentation on everything, requesting about $10 million in corporate sponsorships from that company. This is all with respect to research in geothermal and the environmental aspects of legacy issues of oil and gas. So I would just respectfully ask that if your position on this is ideological, not about financial security of the university, that as you publicize your opinions, please understand the way that you publicize your opinion and your position can and does affect your ability to call it to secure grants and conduct the research.
Thank you. Any other comments or business?
Motion to adjourn.
To go in closed session for purposes of elections?
So we have to adjourn this. We have to adjourn this academic year meeting.
So motion to adjourn the AY215.
Second.
2015 session. Second. Are there any objections? Hearing none, we now close the session at 4:24 and enter executive session.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.